janefinch.com.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Jason Roberts for jane-finch.com covering the 2011 provincial elections. And today I am here with NDP MPP candidate Tom Rakočević. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the interview. I've been a fan of janefinch.com for many years. Actually, I remember it from the beginning. They were very active in the fight to raise minimum wage many years ago. I remember a wonderful filming that happened in the lobby, actually in San Romano Way. In downstairs, it was great. It was packed. There was a lot of energy. I remember going door to door with petitions at that time, talking to people about the importance to fight for better wages, and janefinch.com televised it, they advertised it, they were a big part of it, and I've had lots of respect since then.
The first question that I had was, I wanted to know how you and your party are planning to create jobs in Jane Finch and also in Ontario in general, and how you plan to protect jobs from leaving Ontario.
That's a really important question. I've been knocking on doors all summer, thousands of doors actually, and I've been talking to people in the community. I live in this community, I've lived all my life here. And one of the biggest issues I hear is affordability and the lack of jobs. It could be a family where one of the parents their company is downsized, they're out of a job or they're between jobs. It could be new graduates who are looking for work, even students who are looking for part-time work, they can't even find it. The NDP, unlike the Liberals and the Conservatives, who like to put all the power in the hands of corporations, understand that if you want to create jobs, you need incentives. So rather than giving a huge tax cut to a business, large businesses, we're talking about incentives, tax incentives, so credits. Demonstrate that your company is hiring people here in Ontario, expanding your business here in Ontario, training your workers here in Ontario, will give you a tax credit. The other parties just want to give them a tax cut. And as the corporate tax rate continues to lower and lower and lower, and the middle class pay most of the taxes, companies continue to downsize, you know, find efficiencies, they call it, move jobs elsewhere, move jobs out of province, out of the country, and the situation only gets worse. So that's a tremendous incentive that we're looking at doing. But not just that, I think all politics are local. And one of the things of the many things that I've done, I work with local city councillor Anthony Peruzza, and one of the things we've been pushing for were apprenticeship programs. So we've been working with various trades, and what they've done is they've given all kinds of opportunities, let's say in painting, for instance, to local residents, as an example. People that are looking for work or for experience, they're actually able to get into these apprenticeship programs, and a lot of them are landing jobs as a result of that. I've been involved in job employment fairs in the community, many different ways. I think people need to demonstrate, the politicians need to demonstrate what they're doing actually locally, and as well, I've been very involved with Councillor Peruzza to find ways to create legislation that when infrastructure and work is happening in the community, we find ways to hire local youth and make them a part of strategies when they're doing any kind of major infrastructure upgrades. So we have to focus on it. And lastly, I've been active in local schools, and I would love to see people from different professions go in and talk to students so that even at high school age, they're thinking about their futures and understanding what their options are. For instance, there's so many kids, and I believe every student has a gift to offer, and they have something or many things that they're great at, but they feel that they're not being exposed to it in schools. So maybe we need to bring those trades back. That's something I'd love to see. Or find ways for students who have all sorts of different skills to be able to practice those skills in schools and come out with real work experience at a young age too, right, in terms of that. So, but yeah.
In terms of wait times in hospitals, what are your party's plans to lessen some of the wait times? And what sort of plans does your party have to help seniors?
Yeah, that is definitely a struggle. We have in York West a large population of seniors, and when I talk to them, they're also struggling financially as well. But yes, there's a lot of concerns. And matter of fact, over the last few years, there was a petition that went around where about almost 10,000 people signed a petition. They were concerned that their existing hospital at Jane and Finch was to be possibly closed down, downsized, and it was something that was a really major concern. And there was a lot of frustration towards the current MPP because they felt that there wasn't the appropriate consultation, or their fears and concerns were not being addressed in terms of the thought that the hospital might be moved or closed. And there have been hospitals across Toronto that are downsized. So when you have a major hospital in the center of York West at Jane and Finch, and rather than invest there, the government is looking potentially to invest elsewhere, it can have a very negative effect. One of the things that the NDP want to do is to invest in frontline health workers, ER nurses. So when you come to a hospital, you got to reduce that time. Sometimes it could be a matter of minutes that could save your life as well. And one of the other things that we want to look at, and I was involved in this, we actually have nonprofit organizations and other organizations in the community that are working with people, not just seniors, but everybody, to improve their health through a lot of preventative measures. Diabetes is a big example. There's a Black Creek Community Health Center that I've had the privilege to work a lot with alongside. And we actually worked together. I went with nurses and nutritionists, and we visited seniors in different groups in the community. And we taught them about how the diet can influence their diabetes and their quality of life. And these are things that we need to do and continue to work on. And we need strong local representation. As an MPP, you have a tremendous opportunity to build bridges with the community, bring people together and make good things happen. So this is one of the things that I help fight for and work on. And these are the sorts of things we have to continue to work on together.
What is your position on the HST? And do you support keeping it to support government programs, or do you support getting rid of those completely or reducing them?
If it's the HST, which is the new harmonized sales tax, I have been hearing many, many complaints about it, knocking on doors. And actually, it should be worth noting that in British Columbia, they brought in the HST, and the HST there, they just recently had a referendum, and they actually had to withdraw the entire tax. So this was a new tax brought in by the Liberals when they promised not to raise taxes because people were struggling, and saying that the cost of living continues to rise, and here yet again is another tax. What the NDP are promising to do is remove it from essentials such as hydro, home heating, because again, this would save hundreds of dollars, especially, and this really affects people on fixed incomes like seniors that are living in their homes and they can't afford to pay anymore. So definitely we would have to look at other ways to raise money, but this is one of the things that we would do, which is remove the HST off essentials.
What is your party's position on reducing poverty in York West? What advice would you give to your party to reduce poverty in Ontario?
This is a really important question. And to reduce poverty in York West, again, you require very strong, active local representation, something we don't have right now. There's many families struggling with the costs of daycare or not being able to find affordable daycare spaces. Again, escalating costs. Whether you're a tenant, I happen to have been a tenant for most of my life, or a homeowner, there's so many ways in which the average resident in York West is getting pinched in their pockets, and they're struggling to make ends meet. So for instance, what I would advocate and what my party is advocating for is ensuring that affordable daycare spaces are here in the community, that they're accessible. We have to be very fearful. For instance, at the City of Toronto, the mayor, the current mayor, is looking at cutting all sorts of services that benefit the community. We have community centers such as Driftwood Community Center, which are called a priority center, which means if you're a youth or you're someone using a program there, there are cost reductions for you. Well, now the mayor is saying maybe we should cut that. They're looking at cutting affordable daycare spaces. As a local representative, I would fight these service cut measures that affect the people in the community that need them the most. So these are the sorts of things that I would continue to fight for, as well as other opportunities. I'm a C.W. Jeffries graduate, a proud C.W. Jeffries graduate. I was thrilled to be able to work with the principals there in bringing a football team there to the school. Lots of young kids now have the ability to be a part of a team, and many of them are doing so well, and they're getting grants and scholarships to go to college, university. Again, this helps them. There's so many small measures that you could do, and also the job creation measures that the NDP are looking at through tax credit incentives, as well as small business tax reductions. So not focusing on large corporations in terms of giving big, no strings attached tax cuts. We're talking about tax cuts to small businesses. There's many people in the community that are entrepreneurs would benefit from that, and I think there'd be lots of people that would benefit from companies that are looking to gain those tax cuts through incentives where they have to hire new workers. But again, what is required is strong local leadership, strong local representation, working with groups, ensuring that the nonprofits that are providing wonderful things like job training and mentorship to youth are still open so that people can take advantage of this, and to continue to fight to keep these services alive in the area. And that would really benefit and help people who are struggling financially in so many different ways. But again, strong local representation is needed for that.
And your position on crime and law enforcement, even though statistics show that there's been a drop in the crime rate, what would you propose to combat crime in Jane Finch?
I think the community needs to feel trust with law enforcement agencies as well. There has to be a feeling of trust within our community to be able to combat crime as well. There have been initiatives that the police have taken that may be steps in the right direction, but there's a long way to go to establish that trust. And how will that happen? Again, the police need to be out there in the community, hearing the concerns of residents, addressing the concerns of residents, showing that they're impartial in their policing, for instance. And this would go a long way in dealing with many of the issues that we have in the community. Because when you have people that feel just as threatened or even more threatened by the police, then there's going to be issues. There's just plain and simple. And so we have to find ways to build bridges between the police and the community and the relationship that we have together so that we can have a safe environment for everybody.
What ideas do you have in terms of improving and enhancing healthcare service in Ontario?
Well, There's a lot that needs to be done. And actually, it's worth noting that the public health care system that we have in this country is thanks to Tommy Douglas, founder of the NDP, called CCF at that time. But the party that you can really trust when it comes to health care is the NDP. You have to ensure that the investment in health care is happening. And we have to be very mindful of this slow movement towards the privatization of things in our society, especially healthcare, where you will end up with a multi-tier system where people that have the money will have the prime access to healthcare, and people that are not in the best of financial circumstances do not have that. So you have to ensure funding, not just in terms of frontline workers, which are very important, but also for preventative measures out in the community, just like what I had spoken about, diabetes program, information. We need people to be knowledgeable about their health, and that will also generate savings as well for the healthcare system, which in turn allows them to be more progressive and to expand as well in terms of servicing the needs of Ontario. But funding is very important. More frontline workers. We should not be paying exorbitant salaries to CEOs and at the same time laying off nurses, for instance. It sends a terrible message, and there's a lot of people that are struggling with their health, and having the addition of an additional nurse, for instance, could reduce by a few minutes a time of someone who's really in need and who's waiting for that service, even inside a hospital or waiting at home. And another thing that's worth mentioning again is that, once again, at the City of Toronto, there are service cuts. They're contemplating, are they going to lay off EMS workers? That means the ambulance drivers. Are they going to be laying off firefighters, first responders? We have to ensure that all the measures with regards to health, they have to be protected at all costs.
Do you think we spend too much on healthcare in Ontario right now?
No, I don't think that we spend too much. I think that we have to continue to expand healthcare, because if you're not expanding healthcare, you're losing healthcare. The population is growing. The costs of everything are going up, and you have to ensure that you're investing in healthcare. It's one of the most important things in our society.
And the situation right now with the Humber River Regional Hospital, do you think that healthcare, what do you think about the future of the Humber River Regional Hospital here in Jane Finch?
You know, governments can say anything. They can promise anything. We've had the same Liberal government for 8 years. Many members of the community have concerns that the hospital will be downsized or become only ambulatory care, for instance, and that eventually could be shut down with a site far south of it being favored instead. There's many people in the community that believe that the existing site could have been expanded, and they feel that they did not get the proper answers from the local MPP. There are also many people who say that there's just simply not an adequate level of service. And there are actually reports out there that say that there's not an adequate level of healthcare service currently in the community, again, which falls on the provincial level of government and the local MPP to have answers for. Building a hospital south of the riding is not going to mean that people won't have to take an ambulance to Sunnybrook at their massive trauma care center there instead. At the end of the day, I have concerns. I have concerns about the local site. We have to protect it at all costs, and I don't want to see it downsize or shrunken significantly or any of these things that are being proposed. And the government needs to really settle a lot of worried people that have relied on this hospital, that it's going to be there and it's still going to be accessible to people. It's really a concern. 10,000 people signed a petition on this. It went to legislature. It was an NDP MPP who had to read it in legislature, since the Liberals wouldn't bring it there themselves. And it's actually sad that it had to happen that way. So we have to protect it at all costs.
Now, do you think that it's possible to have healthcare organized at the local level? And if you do think it's possible, how do you think you would go about doing that?
Well, organizing healthcare at the local level, I would take to mean what is happening now, again, with the local nonprofits in terms of preventative measures. Again, Black Creek Community Health Center, they actually have nurses on site. There are people that can provide medical information that are there. You have to ensure that people have access to family doctors, and actually that is a growing problem in Ontario. A lot of people do not have access anymore, or they're losing access to family doctors. We have to ensure that there are a sufficient amount of clinics that people can reach within their community, and to invest in preventative measures, information about different health issues like diabetes. This has to happen. Again, healthcare is a major, major priority in our society, and it has to continue to expand, and we have to make those investments, and especially locally, and I would fight for that. Meet with the community, and whatever is needed in terms of healthcare locally, we have to do it, as well as expanding home care. It's something the NDP has been fighting for so many years. There's many people that won't be able to make it to a hospital, or seniors, or people with disabilities. We have to continue to expand home care so that doctors can make those home visits that people talk about long, long ago.
What is your position on Ontario's debt right now and the deficit? What recommendations would you make to your party on how to reduce both?
Well, the deficit and debt is something that many governments across the world are facing, and municipalities and provinces. The middle class are paying most of the taxes, the way I see it. And the corporations, many of them post record profits. The Liberal government now is contemplating to take HST off what they call business entertainment. So if you're a big CEO in a large company, and you decide you want to take your friends out to the Raptors game, well, you know what, here, let's write the tax off in that, because that's business entertainment. And yet, we as residents are going to subsidize that. And it's silly when you consider that our people are struggling to make ends meet, and here the government is contemplating all sorts of measures, they say, to keep large businesses happy. And in the midst of debts and deficits and financial crises, handouts are being given to these companies, you know, to help keep them there. Companies that may be, let's say, gambling with their own finances, and all of a sudden when they have a shortfall, the government, the people have to bail them out, who then in turn hand out bonuses. We have to continue to focus on regular middle class families. And if you're going to find ways to make ends meet, you should not be contemplating tax cuts to large corporations that pay very little tax compared to the rest of the developing world and the developed world. They pay actually very low taxes. There are many incentives for them to stay here, yet they can continue to move jobs out. You need to find ways of reducing corporate tax only on the base, or creating tax incentives that create jobs so that they in turn invest and benefit the economy. So that's what we have to focus on.
What is your position on the future of energy production?
We need to continue to invest in renewable energy sources. There's a lot of thinking that people just want to look at the bottom line, money, what form of energy production is going to generate the most bang for the buck, let's say. But then people aren't thinking about their grandchildren or global climate change or what's happening. We have to invest in renewable energy sources. We have to think about the future, not just for ourselves, but even our children and our grandchildren and their grandchildren. So we have to be continuously investing in research that will find renewable energy sources.
Tom, what is your position on full-day kindergarten? And what do you think the goals of education should be over, say, the next 4 years?
Well, I always favored the idea of the school as a hub of learning and a vibrant school environment where there are programs happening even after classes are done. I like the move towards full-day kindergarten and giving young people the opportunity to be in a school learning environment, supervised environment. I think that in 4 years, we should be continuing to fight for funding to schools and ensuring that there's all sorts of programs that are happening in that environment so that students are there in their classes learning, but they have tons of activities to do afterwards so that they want to stay at school. Instead of running home to jump on a video game, let's say, that they want to be there, that there's exciting programs. It could be in the arts, it could be in sports, it could be anything, tutoring programs, but keeping them, giving them lots of avenues for them to be at school, to stay at school, to want to be in school, not just during class time, but afterwards. So we have to be creative and we have to figure out ways to continue to do this. So that's something that I would love to work on. And I actually have my bachelor in education. I've done teaching in nonprofit programs at the elementary level, all the way up to laboratories in universities where I've taught students. So education is a major priority for me.
Just one final question. Do you have any comments for the other candidates that are running? And any advice or words of support you'd give to Jane Finch Youth?
I've lived all my life in this community. I was born in this community. I went to local schools like CWJ, Elia, Derrydown. I love this community. Jane and Finch is a home to wonderful people. And so many of us have felt so disenfranchised with voting. We have to have a voice. We have to stay involved. I got involved when I was 15 years old because I was a tenant at that time and for most of my life. And a large landlord wanted to, you know, remove a little parkland space where we played soccer, where we had a swimming pool, where families went for picnics. And the developer said, hey, let's wipe this out and let's make some money here. And I went around with a petition. I talked to people. And what happened? Homeowners, other tenants, they welcomed me with open arms. They signed my petition even though I was a high school student. And we actually won. And there was an NDP local representative who fought and won with us as a community. And it taught me that at an early age, we actually have the ability to make change so long as we fight together and work together as a community. You have to vote. You have to vote. You have to be involved. Volunteer your time. Get involved in your community. Don't just give up. Don't do the easy thing where you say, oh, they're all the same, they're bad. They were politicians who fought to bring healthcare to this country. They were politicians who fought to improve education, things that benefit us. Don't think that politics don't involve you, because if you're not a part of it, you're a victim of it. So make sure you stay involved, come out and vote. And to other representatives, if you want to be a representative in this community, you have to be out there in the community. You have to be at the schools. You have to be at the community centers. You have to be addressing the needs. You should be familiar with this community. You shouldn't show up once every 4 years asking for a vote. You shouldn't just decide to show up one day and say, hey, I think I could be a representative here. You have to be a part of this community for people to trust you. So that's what I want to say on the issue. It's crucial for you to vote, and it's crucial to be involved in this community if you love it. Thanks.